You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Transfer Window Podcast with me, Johnny McFarlane. Joining me today on the line to talk about all things Manchester United is Duncan Castles. Duncan, you've written a piece today for the Daily Record Online that paints a fairly grim picture of Manchester United's transfer dealings so far. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, look, I think what I wanted to do with this piece for the Record is get people to think about the problems Manchester United have to solve in this transfer window, which are, you know, quite deep and complex. There's this idea that it's Manchester United. They've spent a ton of money on transfers over the last 3 years. They're the biggest club in England in terms of stature. Therefore, their squad must be really good. But if you step back and have a look at it and sort of do this kind of thought exercise and say, right, I'm Manchester United manager. I've got a key Champions League knockout tie coming up, and look at the squad that they went into this window with and say how many of those players are guaranteed starters. I think you struggle to get more than six, certainly more than seven. Maybe you want to do it yourself, John. You tell me which ones you think you'd have guaranteed in your lineup from the squad they've got entering this window.
Yes, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, obviously, David De Gea, if he stays... Valencia certainly had a very powerful season last year, so he would be someone you would want in. Eric Bailly, who's signed, Paul Pogba. But then after that, there's a lot of question marks, isn't there, around the individuals after that?
Yeah, I agree with those names. I'd say Ander Herrera had a great season, is very adaptable, so you'd probably have him in the midfield. And then Marcus Rashford, you'd have him somewhere along the front line, but even Marcus Rashford, for all the talent he has, for all the qualities, the attitude is very good. Mourinho loves him as a footballer. He thinks he can develop him into Manchester United's starting centre forward. He's still a teenager, and if you were to put him straight in and make him the centre forward for this season, the weight of expectation is such a huge risk to his development that it becomes a problem, which kind of leads into the other issue that Manchester United have, the unexpected issue going into this window, which was caused when Zlatan Ibrahimovic had a double cruciate ligament injury in their second last Europa League game. And suddenly they went from, well, we're going to keep Zlatan Ibrahimovic and he will be the main goal scorer and he will be the main centre forward for his leadership qualities, for his abilities to finish, and we will use Rashford alongside him and give him more games this season and allow that development to continue. Suddenly he went from that position to, now we've got to sign an experienced top-level centre-forward on top of all the other positions we want to fill, which are numerous. So, and you know, as we all know, centre-forwards are hard to buy. That is the most expensive position in football, usually. And also, looking at this summer, there aren't any obviously good candidates. There isn't one guy you would say who is easily obtainable. You say, I'll go and put the money down and I'll bring him in and he will be starting centre forward for Manchester United. You've got to compromise a bit to get someone in.
Zlatan won't just be missed on the pitch either. This is someone who has such presence in the dressing room and on the pitch. He's not someone that you can just go out and pick someone off a tree to replace. He is one of the elite players in world football.
Yeah, exactly. One of the problems Mourinho had, and I think one of the things that surprised him when he came into the dressing room last year, he knew the quality of the players from playing against them and watching them, so he knew what they were technically able to do as footballers. But what caught him by surprise was the mental attitude of a lot of the players in the squad, and it basically his conclusion was, these guys have got used to not winning. It doesn't hurt them enough when they lose matches or draw matches, and that's completely unacceptable for a club like Manchester United, a club like Chelsea. You've got to have guys who every time the result goes against them, it hurts them and they want to fix it straight away. And Ibrahimovic was a guy who made a difference there, because he's, whatever you think about him, he's an out-and-out winner. He, you know, desperate to score goals, desperate to win titles. Also, a good example in the dressing room was a light. You know, he has an ego. He thinks he's important. And he set a good example for them. So, can you get a guy to replace him in this window? Well, maybe there's one guy, but then that guy, is he actually going to leave the club he's at? Cristiano Ronaldo has made it clear to his agent that he wants to leave Spain, and he's made it clear to Real Madrid that he wants to leave Spain. But will that resolve itself in a way that a club like Manchester United are actually able to sign him before the window closes? Aside from Ronaldo, I don't see anyone who is in that category. Therefore, you start looking at players like Alvaro Morata, who are good strikers, but are they top? Well, I think his record of selection for Juventus and Real Madrid tells you he's not top yet.
In terms of the business that they've completed so far, Lindelof's obviously come in, but the questions will be asked now about Woodward and his role, given that there's not been more coming in. I think the most successful period Mourinho had in his second spell at Chelsea was when he got his business done early and brought in Fabregas and Costa way before anyone else had moved in the transfer market, and that allowed them to be very settled going into the early games and get ahead of steam quickly.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think Mourinho's record in the transfer market has been exceptional since he first left Chelsea. If you look at the work he did at Inter, when he was given his head in the transfer market after the first season and allowed to build a team that could win the Champions League, bought five or six players who ended up as starters in the Champions League final and treble winning side. Also recruited very well at Real Madrid, brought a lot of players who've been core to them going on to win Champions League in recent years. Chelsea, like you say, second season when he was allowed to do what you want. He wanted, he got the players in quickly and they won the title and sprinted away to that. So they basically won it in the first 6 months of the season. And that's what he wants to do every summer. He wants deals done quickly. He's very detailed in terms of giving the directors at the club a list of players he wants, a list of potential candidates for the positions he needs filled. And saying, these are the guys we need to solve the problems that the team's had, and he wants them in as early as possible because it's important to have them in for him for pre-season training, so they get as much exposure to his tactical work and to his ideas in pre-season training, and also so he can control their physical conditioning from as early on in the summer as possible. And I think some people are kind of miss the importance of when you make signings. I think people are quite aware that January is a bad time to buy players these days, and most clubs avoid it. But actually, in the summer, you want to get the deal done as quickly as possible because it's a huge advantage to have the player in early, to have him working with you as soon as possible, and to be able to monitor his physical conditioning so you get the most games out of him through the season. And that's part of the reason why Mourinho's frustrated at the moment, because he's given Ed Woodward and Manchester United a long list, you know, at least three candidates for each position that he wants filled, and asked that they be there before the team flies to Los Angeles on Sunday for pre-season training. As it stands, only one of those positions, centre-back, has been filled, and he's waiting for the rest, and he's not happy that's the condition they're in going into what he sees as a really critical transfer window and critical season for the club.
Does it become more difficult as time goes on to get players in? there's more and more agents hawking their players around different clubs, and there's a lot more competition for the signatures of the very top players.
Well, I think there's a... It's not so much the issue of agents, it's more how many clubs are trying to secure these top players. And in this window is quite a good example, because you've got, in England alone, you've got Manchester City going through this immense rebuild, which is almost certainly going to involve them spending more money in transfer fees than anyone's ever done before. You've got Chelsea under severe pressure from their manager to build him a squad he feels is capable of competing for the Champions League. You've got Mourinho asking Manchester United for a full-back, a centre-back, a holding midfielder, a number 10, possibly a winger, and now and a centre-forward on top. Then you look elsewhere in Europe, you've got Paris Saint-Germain trying to re-establish themselves as French champions and prepared to spend a ton of money in this window. You've got Inter with new Chinese owners also ready to invest heavily. You've got Juventus, who are still targeting a Champions League win, are restructuring, prepared to sell off some of their older players to get new guys in to go after that Champions League win again, also have a lot of cash. And then on top of that, the rest of the Premier League are all cash rich and can afford to spend money, if not on the top players, but on players that are close to the top. So, yeah, there is a huge amount of competition, and it's harder than ever to get the players you want. You know, if you went back 10 years ago and Manchester United wanted the top striker in England, for example, they'd be in a pretty good position to outbid everyone and kind of outcharm the player. But now it's not a simple process. You know, there's no guarantee that Manchester United beat Manchester City or Chelsea if they're prepared to spend to get that player. There's no guarantee they can even get that player out. So if you say Harry Kane is the top striker in England, for sake of argument, can you get Harry Kane out of Tottenham Hotspur? You probably can't, because they'll just refuse to sell, and he's not really agitating for a move either. So yeah, it's harder, which means you've got to be well prepared, and you have to time it right, and you have to do a lot of homework.
Thanks for that, Duncan. That was fascinating. So a lot of food for thought there for Manchester United fans to mull over as this transfer window goes on. Please go and subscribe to the Transfer Window podcast at iTunes and all other good podcasting networks to guarantee you get the podcast ahead of everyone else. Thanks for listening.